This is what I, that's what nice. I got right now.
Yeah. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't grow to hate a sound like this because I feel like nature. This sound occurs naturally.
So that's called Hideout Grove, and I used to have. And this is called Caribbean Cove.
Oh. Can I hear Nuclear Meltdown now?
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to Dark Rhino Security Confidential Happy Hour. I'm Chris Kazel. We've got Rory Michael here. Just a little fun episode this week. Not much happening in the news. We'll touch on it a little bit, but mostly just Rory and I doing what we do whenever we sit down next to each other. So here we go.
Get ready.
Okta had a pretty big breach like 6 months ago. Do you remember that one? This was the one somebody in the Okta support desk, their account got hacked and they had access to client Okta.
Yeah, I remember that. That was February. That's kind
of. Yeah. That's old news, but that was like social engineering got them in. For this one, I think it only affected four or five clients. Yeah, but somebody, I don't know if they got a list of names or what it is. I'll have to find the article because a client actually showed it to me. He was like, what protections do we have in place? But it was the same kind of thing. People who were super administrators in their direct Okta. So like Okta had no, it wasn't a breach like an exploit or a vulnerability in their product. It was like same thing. Somebody got phished. They're social engineered into going in as a super admin and unblocking or creating an account for people or whatever it was. So yeah. It's the same kind of thing where it wasn't actually like a vulnerability in the code. It was just all of the human element. And I was like, there's not really anything you can do about that.
Yeah. That's just poor, I don't know, poor maintenance. Maybe.
Yeah. Cause they all have MFA.
Poor user maintenance.
Yeah. They all have MFA. You can like train your company about, what is it like social engineering and phishing and stuff? Yeah. But at the end of the day, if they go in and they keep clicking like approve on the MFA prompt and like typing in the code and somebody's talking them through it, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
If they're supposed to have access. So they were asking me what they can do. And I said, there's not really that much you can do. You just have to educate them.
Yeah.
And other things like force your admins to sign in from the VPN or the corporate network or something, but still like if they want to get in, they can. You can't really stop them. It's just kind of sad.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true. But
at least it wasn't like a vulnerability with Okta.
Yeah. It's always no good when it's like a technical problem, you know? It's always almost, it's pleasing to hear when it's a social engineering thing because then at least you know, okay, well, the technology works, right?
But, it's just an ignorant user.
Yeah. There's not much you can do about that.
I wonder if they keep their job after that kind of thing.
I know for a fact there's companies who, like, if you fail a phishing test X amount of times, they let you go because you're a security risk.
Well, I mean, if it's happening multiple times, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. See, and I don't know, like.
I think it's reasonable.
I don't know the number with that, you know, if it's three times or five times or 20 times, but dude, me, I would be like one time. Those tests are so easy.
Yeah. And like we do the phishing software for people, like one of our clients, it's like 50 users maybe. The first one person got lured and failed, and he made a announcement about it and like posted the metrics around the test to the company for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. It's been perfect scores since then. Like nobody wants to be
that guy.
Yeah.
You know. Well, you know what? I think, man, like I never really look at an email for more than 3 seconds if it's something that I'm not expecting to see.
Right.
So like if I email somebody and I'm waiting for that person to email me back, or I'm expecting a reply, then that's an email I'll pay attention to. But like any email that comes up in my inbox, that's just there.
Yeah.
And I didn't solicit it,
mm-hmm.
You know, like actively solicit it. Obviously there's things that come daily that you subscribe to or what have you.
Right.
But I don't pay very close attention to those, you know?
I know.
So these people who get into trouble with phishing emails, like you think every email they get is like mass important to you. I mean, maybe there are jobs where it is, you know, but at the same time,
yeah, I don't know. I think it depends because, like, if it looks to me like spam, because you know how in Outlook you see the left hand pane and it's like the beginning of the subject you see.
Yeah.
If it looks like spam, I just like click it to mark it as read and keep going. I don't even look at the contents. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the ones I see that people actually do open are any kind of impersonation. Like if it's your CEO's name at a weird domain, they'll still open that and read it for sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's hard to say.
Well, you know what, dude, I have is that. So on my phone, I have it set so that anytime Kevin or Manoj email me, it like dings. And Smart. What I've noticed is that I get sometimes impersonation emails from Kevin, but more so what I do get is like Zoho CRM tasks that come from Kevin Casey, but they don't ding my phone. Okay. So the only thing that will ding my phone when it's from Kevin is
that specific address. Yeah, that's smart.
All right.
See, I have it do that with certain clients, and then like if somebody mentions Okta in the email, then it does it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same kind of thing.
Right.
But if somebody knew that, they would email me about Okta.
No, they might.
We gotta beep that out.
Yeah.
I gotta beep out my keywords.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, security at the end of the day, dude, it's always gonna be user error 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, think about how much harder it is to find a vulnerability and then exploit that vulnerability and then be able to do something with that exploited information off that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Think about how easy it is to manipulate someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. There's some foolish people out there.
You know, like I was telling you about that breach with that hospital system back in Wisconsin. I promise you, dude, it was 100%, you know.
User error/...
Just
some kind of general carelessness.
Yeah, but like, social engineering, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, I promise you it wasn't like their email scanning went down for like 24 hours or something like that. You know what I mean?
The hospitals are usually pretty tight with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot of like accepted risk kind of stuff, like really old application or like an old database or something that's still used to this day that's been there for 20 years that's not updated or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't update it. They just like write off the risk. Like, we know that this system is unpatched and there's nothing we can do about it. And that kind of stuff is like, that's when social engineering like is relevant. You can just exploit that stuff.
Yeah.
And we do see it all the time. I'm going to finish the art bag while we're here.
Yeah.
Unless you want some more.
No, you got it, brother.
Can I have a cube?
Yeah. You want my glass?
No, just a cube.
Sharing is caring at Dark Rhino Security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, which is probably all of you who are watching this, we have amassed an exquisite collection of bourbon, whiskey, scotch.
There's some rum in there.
And some brandy as well. But it's...
Yeah.
It's like six shelves plus the top, and the cabinet's probably like this wide.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
This deep, maybe. So it's a good collection.
What's Hennessy considered again?
Cognac.
Cognac. There's some cognac there too.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Something for everybody except vodka.
There's no vodka in there. And you know what? You remember I was talking about that vodka I got, that Jewel of Russia? I still haven't tried it yet.
Well,
you know,
it's bad. You can
put it in. I was almost going to bring it in because you know Vince loves vodka.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, man, I don't want to take it out of my freezer now and transport it here.
True.
I want it. It's in the freezer. It's staying in the freezer.
Yeah, so you can really put it on display too.
No, you can't now. That's the thing. But I do like that. My whiskey cabinet at home is, it's almost full.
Yeah.
And I don't have much space, but it's
lucky. Mine's empty. No more Fernet.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this thing because Counter-Strike 2 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And have you ever played Counter-Strike?
No.
No. It's like, it's a kind of, it's not an old game, but like CSGO is the one that's out right now.
Was that Counter-Strike Go?
Yeah. Global Offensive. Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Okay.
It was like the last iteration. The new one just came out. But I was reading and there's all this like controversy because when you buy a game on Steam, when you buy a game on Steam, it's not like the old days where you go to Target or whatever and buy a PlayStation game and you have the disc. Mm-hmm. You're essentially leasing it from Steam.
Really?
Yeah, so you don't actually own a physical copy of it.
Mm, that could be troublesome.
It is weird, right? Because
does that apply to all digital copies? Like if you go on the PlayStation store, you buy a game, you own that. You own that copy, right, or whatever.
I don't know. If you buy the downloadable content on like the PlayStation Network or Xbox, I don't even know what it's called anymore. The Xbox
Store, maybe.
Microsoft Store. Whatever.
I think that's
Microsoft Store. Whatever it is, I think it's the same kind of thing, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But with Steam, it's like in the agreement now that your right to play is revoked it on a whim, essentially.
Well, it's probably, I'm sure, bro. They find out you're some, I'll just say, controversial figure. Either way,
you can be denied from playing.
I'll take your counters.
Probably. I think schools should teach you how loans work, for one thing, and like how credit works. Because a lot of the time, people get a credit card and have no idea what the hell is happening behind. Like, what if I don't pay it this month? Like, most people don't know what occurs there when they get their first credit card. That'd be a good skill.
Yeah.
Could have saved me a bit of trouble way back when.
I think that's everyone, man. I mean, credit cards are like, you know what the worst thing about a credit card is that you have no real way to comprehend how much you're actually spending. I mean, you just swipe it.
Yeah.
You know, versus like, dude, you put you want to see how much money you actually spend? Walk around with cash, man. Mm-hmm. Like when I go on vacation, I try to take cash with me instead. And then the last place we went, I think I took $400. It was like a weekend thing. Sunday, dude, I was down to like $20.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good point. You don't really think about it when it's just like numbers out there.
Yeah. But you got cash, it just,
I agree with you,
flies.
This is what I was thinking about with the Steam thing, because like, speaking of credit, you don't actually own these games that you buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody buys on credit. Most adults are in debt.
Yeah.
Most people rent. Like, there's fewer people of our generation who own homes and whatnot. Most people don't have assets, or they're like renting or leasing a car. Someday we're going to literally own nothing except food, which you consume on the spot.
And it'll be bugs.
Yeah, you're eating bugs.
Don't forget that.
But I can see somewhere down the line, nobody owns anything.
That's the whole goal, dude. You will own nothing and like it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody streams now. Nobody buys a DVD.
You know, that's a true shame, man. And I was telling, I'm telling stuff. Like, she's basically the only one I talk to, right?
That's right.
But I want to have, dude, a nice like home theater system, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. But I want like shelves of the DVDs. I don't want to have to like
the classic.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because like then you own that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think about that all the time with like streaming services and stuff. Like they just turn off the power. You don't have it. You don't know anything anymore.
Yeah, exactly. People, even like Spotify, people don't really buy albums anymore.
Yeah.
Right. People pay a subscription to Apple Music and whatever, but you don't own any of that.
Yes, I know. It's crazy.
Someday, like everything is slowly getting rolled over into that model. Our businesses too, software as a service.
Yeah.
You don't own
the licenses.
Yeah, like Symantec on a disc anymore, like it used to be. It's if you stop paying your licensing fee, you don't have protection.
Yeah, that's how they want it, man. It's crazy.
And everything is slowly getting rolled over into that price model. Or that, I don't know, strategy. I don't know what it is. I wonder if people actually make more money doing it that way. Like,
I don't think it's the money, man. I think it's the control. I think you have so much more control when you can take, when you can pull something from someone like that, you know, versus if I buy something from you, it's mine now. Like, I own it. As long as I have physical possession of it, I own it. So I really don't care. As long as the value of whatever it is that I bought from you that I now own outweighs the repercussion of not doing whatever you want me to do. But if I don't own it, if you can, you can take it from me, you hold a lot more power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Control, but, I'll say.
But do you think, like, this day and age, if you sold like 100 DVDs, you've got to make more money in the short term than you do with like a subscription to a streaming service. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so anymore. I'll put it like this. I think right now, if you went out on the street, you would get more money selling somebody a subscription for a streaming service for 6 months than selling someone 100 DVDs.
I'd be curious to see, because I guess my point is, I don't think it's all motivated by like capitalism. Like, I feel like you can make more selling physical media in the moment. I guess a 6 month commitment might pay off in the long run. But generally, when you sell like a bunch of DVDs, people use that to go and make their next movie or something immediately.
You know
what I mean? Maybe it's more stable to operate.
I think retro speaking, yes. But I think present day and age, no.
It's probably more stable. You can kind of plan out better how much you'll make month to month rather than being, I guess, a slave to how much your last movie made or something. Or
I just think right now the perceived value is around streaming, and it's around, you know, that instant ability, right?
So the convenience.
The convenience, right? And I think there's nothing that jeopardizes the status quo. And while that maintains, people aren't going to buy DVDs. Like, people don't care, because it's like, I don't need that. The internet works just fine.
Yeah.
I can log in, you know?
Yeah.
This is something too that I was talking about today is
with who,
you know, I don't know what to say differently there, but, so all the writers and actors are on strike, right? And no, you know, new stuff is being produced. Well, some selective stuff is, I guess, but majority of it is not. Dude, there's so much movies, media, shows on all the streaming platforms.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. I could probably watch something nonstop for years, and I still wouldn't have watched a quarter of, you know, what's even on just one streaming application.
Yeah.
Now you have 2, 3, 4. I mean, you got content for days.
I mean, there's a lot of garbage, but yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of garbage with anything, but.
Do you have a Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Do you watch Endor, the Star Wars one?
I don't like Star Wars.
This one I actually liked. I'm not a Star Wars lover.
I never got into Star Wars, so I don't feel if I started anything related to that I would get it.
Not even the original three films?
I've watched them.
Oh, dude, they're classics.
I don't know, man.
The new ones aren't good, but the original three were classics. I didn't like the new ones. Who am I to say if they're good or bad?
I don't know. I just can't. I'm not a big sci-fi guy.
Yeah.
But I do like Predator, though. I like that.
Pretty different from Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool. Do you like, you want to see an Alien? Mm-mm. Oh, I gotta watch Alien.
Like a newer one or like the classic?
The first one.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Alien with the Ridley Scott film?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second one where they're shooting them on the... Okay.
Yeah. My dad used to watch those, so I watched them as a kid. But you know, like my favorite, you know what to me is the standard of a movie, bro? James Bond movies.
Yeah. Like, we love James Bond.
I remember being a little kid and watching GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, that to me, like, that was like a mind opening experience.
You like Pierce Brosnan, James Bond?
I do like him, but I like Craig Bourne. more.
I like Daniel Craig. Yeah,
I think he's. I think he has way more class, I'll say.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. You know, I don't know. He's just. He's the perfect one, in my opinion.
Yeah, those Pierce Brosnan ones were action packed, though.
They're action packed, and they're those to me with him are like. They set the stage for that early 2000s action movie. Like everything yeah. Vin Diesel ever did was yeah. because of what Pierce Brosnan did.
That's a good point. Triple X would not exist.
That's what I'm saying. All those movies, bro. Yeah. Triple X, Fast and Furious.
That's a good point.
All of those 90-minute action-packed movies, they would not have happened if Pierce Brosnan didn't do what he did in
yeah.
GoldenEye, all the ones he made.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
He made like four of them, I think.
Die Another Day.
Yeah.
There's got to be
more. I think there's four of them. But his 00 movies were the most, like, they set the standard for what an action movie was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then after everything that came after that was like, okay, this is where we're at now. Like explosions, car chases, yeah. gunfights.
Even nowadays, the Daniel Craig ones feel maybe a little more realistic.
Oh, yeah. I think that
a lot of movies follow those.
But I think that's just because of, you know, action and stunt and CGI got so much better.
Yeah.
You know, his, I mean,
Pierce Brosnan was like jumping from helicopter to helicopter and like doing crazy shit like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Daniel Craig's a little more mellow.
Yeah. His were definitely more realistic. And I think his were way more like, there was a much, they relied more on the story to draw you in versus Pierce Brosnan's. They were straight just action movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you just went from scene to scene to scene of straight up action. But Daniel Craig's was like, you know, there's an allure, there's a story here. Yeah. We're working towards something bigger.
Ana de Armas is here.
Yeah.
They sucker you in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Totally.
And could you imagine not owning a DVD of GoldenEye?
I want to own every 007 DVD.
Oh, that'd be cool.
As a collect, because I think personally, if those films ever got lost, media, like the movie industry as a whole, is whatever at that point.
That's true.
Those movies were, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's not the same for everyone, but to me, those are like the pinnacle of movies that you go to the movie theater to see.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, man, there's certain movies, like when they come out, they were never meant to go be seen in theaters. Like, great, they came out, cool. Yeah. They're in theaters, whatever. But there are certain movies that they were specifically meant to be watched in theaters. And every 007 movie is one of those movies, 100%.
I've probably seen like the last 10 in theaters.
Yeah. That's one. Like nobody missed, you know, going to see that. Like Top Gun Maverick, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was what you could see in theaters.
They also wasn't released on stream. They did it right.
They made you. They made you.
But you're right. Yeah, some movies are just made for it.
Yeah,
like Book Club: The Next Chapter. Not worth
it. That's what I mean. Like, silly movies like that, where you can just like hang out on the couch and, you know, whatever, curl up. Girl or guy, shit. Whatever.
I wouldn't have even enjoyed it then. Worst movie I've ever seen. Saw it for Mother's Day. It was not my decision. Terrible.
I think I'm already telling.
No plot. They just went to Italy. That was the whole movie.
I don't know. Nobody watches TV like that anymore, though. Yeah. You know,
it's all like, I don't know. That's what's weird about watching stuff on Disney Plus, Netflix. It all gets released at once too, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. You know, I was actually talking to self about this.
Oh, were you changing things up? Huh?
Yeah, right. What's crazy to me is how. So we watched Sons of Anarchy,
mm-hmm.
and we watched the whole show. Maybe in a month, maybe 6 weeks, and, dude, I remember people were like nuts about that show when it came out, but I was thinking. When this came out, I mean, they only released one season a year, 10 episodes a year. So when that 10-week period was up, I mean, dude, you had 42 weeks to go until you were able to, like, fill the hole with what's happening with, you know, Jax, the Anarchy crew. Right? So, I mean, people, you, like, just clamor. It's like Sopranos, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I guess, like, people lost their minds when the Sopranos ended how it ended. But that's because they sunk. How long is Sopranos? I think it's seven seasons.
I don't know. I haven't watched it all the way
so, through. So, ideally, you know, you sunk 7 years of your life into that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
The last show I watched on television weekly was Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I didn't even watch the last couple seasons because I wasn't that into it. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, during the off time, the anticipation is just builds. That's why it's so cool.
That's what I mean. And, like, I think, you know, that's an allure that is completely gone. That's history now. Because if there's a show that comes out now, and they're on streaming service, obviously, I'm not going to watch it, you know, like, week to week to week to week. I'll just wait till the whole thing comes out, and then I'll just binge watch it. And you just don't get that anymore. Like, you're never going to be able to create that suspense and that, like, anticipation for a series ever again, because people are going to be like, well, I'll just wait till it comes out, I can watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, they don't do a great job of being like, May 1st, new season of Sons of Anarchy. It kind of appears one day.
Yeah.
Whereas on, like, network TV, for 3 months, there would be, like, clips from the upcoming season playing.
Yeah.
They don't do a good job saying what stuff's coming out or anything.
No, I do agree with that. They got to find a better way to advertise upcoming stuff, but
yeah. I just randomly check and see what's new. I have no idea what to expect.
Well, you know, I never watched TV shows, like, series, prior to streaming services.
All right.
Yeah. I never, like, got into anything except for Family Guy. I watched Family Guy because that was hilarious.
Yeah. It was on every night.
Yeah. You know, you're going to do not watch it.
Yeah. I watched The Office and I watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah. See, I watched The Office on Netflix when it first was on there streaming. And I watched the whole thing and
I remember watching that weekly, but that was like a cultural phenomenon. Everybody watched it.
See, that was before my time. I think I was in sixth grade when The Office was, like, hot, just coming off the press, right?
Yeah.
And I never watched it, but now, even, like, watching it and thinking back to where I was in that time, everything would have gone right over my head. Care. I wouldn't have thought it was that funny.
Yeah.
I would have been like, the show's stupid.
I think at that time I was eighth grader. Freshman year in high school, but I just remember it being really popular at school. Like, everybody would watch it and then talk about it the next day. So it wouldn't be included, you had to watch it too.
Yeah. See, dude, that's lost now. Streaming services, like, you know,
they all watch Euphoria and talk about that. They still do it.
What's Euphoria?
It's just like a Zoomer show.
Oh, is it?
Kind of, yeah.
Never seen it.
I did watch that one.
Yeah.
Ginny in Georgia. You ever seen that one? No. That was so old, maybe not. It's like for current high schoolers, I guess.
Yeah, see, I... No.
Well, that's okay. Not worth it. That one's not worth it.
No, man. I don't know. I can't say I've watched anything really recently that I would recommend. I don't know. It's all mediocre at best.
You know, Tom Brady directed 80 for Brady.
Doesn't surprise me.
He's making movies now.
He's got to do something.
Why? He's probably rich as heck.
Oh, he definitely is. He's got that deal with Fox, I'm pretty sure.
He's probably loaded. He doesn't have to keep doing stuff. You know, Sean Connery, once he hit the top, he walked away. He stopped making movies.
That's gonna do it.
Hasn't done anything since.
You know what I was going to say, though, is what I really actually do enjoy is, like, sometimes I stumble across these free movies on YouTube that are more documentary-esque.
Give us an example.
Okay. I watched last week. No, it was like 2 weeks ago. It was like an hour and 6 minutes long. But but it was this documentary on traditional Irish pubs in Ireland. And they interviewed, you know, they talked with like 7 or 8 different bar owners. Oh, dude, it was, I don't know. I thought it was freaking fantastic. Educational, interesting, enjoyable, and something, you know what I miss the most about traditional television, man, is streaming. I have to know what I want to watch. But traditional TV, you just sit down and you would just channel surf until you found something that was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then you just got sunk in.
Or you just watch it because it's on next and you don't want to get up and get the remote. I mean, it picks for you.
There you go. There you go.
I'm with you. You scroll forever now.
Scroll forever. Scroll till you die.
Yep.
Or your soul leaves, whichever happens first. Hopefully your soul doesn't leave.
Speaking of scrolling forever, this podcast can't go on forever, so.
You're right. That's the end.
Goodbye. Thanks for the time, everybody.